All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to Psalm 127. They're written by Solomon. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's written for Solomon, by the way, not by Solomon, written by David. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Working with God. God is sovereign, and God wants to be a part of every single solitary aspect of our life. He doesn't want to be excluded in anything. If a worker devotes all of his energies and skills to build a house without relying upon the Lord, his efforts are really futile. He might build a wonderful house, but it'll be futile if the Lord doesn't bless the work of his hands and if he doesn't have happy family and relationships in the house. If a city or a nation neglects to trust in God, its defense will be in vain. You see, reliance upon God is critical to success in every area of our life. Now, this reliance is especially critical in child rearing. Children are God's gift to us, and by recognizing this truth, parents can have wisdom, direction, and ultimately joy. So we clearly need to be working with the Lord in all these areas. There's 4 points: building with God, defending with God, laboring with God, and raising a family with God. So let's start with the first one, building with God. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I believe that King David here is thinking back upon his desire to build the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to 1 Chronicles 17. 1 Chronicles 17. And then we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and then verses 11 and 12. It says this, now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said unto Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. Now scoot down to verse 11 and 12. It says, and it shall come to pass when thy day shall be expired that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 12, he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Here we have it pretty clear that I believe the context of writing Psalm 127 was David's desire to build the house for God. And yet David was a bloody man. David was a man of war. And the Lord came and told to David, you know, really I don't want you building this house, this temple for me. To dwell in the midst of your people. David was a man after God's own heart, and so he listened to the Lord. He did make preparations to build the house of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1 through 5, he gathered together craftsmen and wood and all kinds of things for the building of the house of the Lord. He didn't make preparations, but he didn't go ahead and build it because he realized the truth that it would be vain if this is not the Lord's will. God had chosen David's son Solomon, Solomon who'd live in peace, to erect the temple where the children of God could worship. And so David knew that this plan must be done God's way. We need to realize that except the Lord build the house, that we labor in vain when we do it. David did not think that his human effort would be worthwhile if God did not bless it. And we need to understand that also, that God is in charge, and he needs to direct our minds, and he needs to assist us in our labors so that we don't end up doing something that displeases him. We are to be laborers together with God, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. And so it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 4, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David." Solomon was the one who coordinated things and got things together and built the temple of the Lord, but he looks back and said, "You gave my father the vision." And yet the timing is also the Lord's, and I've just fulfilled what the Lord has asked me to do. Solomon concluded that man's labors, everything that he does, is going to be empty unless the Lord really is in it. He concluded the most important activities of life are to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, that is to be the whole duty of man. Whether the man of God is building a physical building or whether we're building our spiritual life, we need to erect it to the glory of God according to his will and not for our vanity. So, hence, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that do it. Now, the next little phrase that we see is defending with God. So, except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That's the second part of the verse, and it indicates the setting of a watchman over the city, and that it's useless unless Jehovah is in it. Now, I want to tell you, we're living in a day and in a time and in an age where we certainly need the Lord's protection. There aren't enough policemen around to keep everything and everybody safe. They do their best. I believe in a strong military. I believe in a strong police force. But around the world, police and watchmen and armies, they're on patrol, and yet vandals terrorize and armies, terrorists victimize homes, and robbers break into houses. Firestorms break out, and if God does not watch over people, they cannot be safe regardless of how well armed and how vigilant they are. I believe you ought to protect yourself. I'm one who's a believer in the Second Amendment, but I also turn your attention to Psalm 20 and verse 7. Let's go back to Psalm 20 and in verse 7. We need to pray for the protection of God. We need to pray for the direction of God. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord God." I turn you back to Gideon. Gideon started out with a bunch of men, but it got cut down to a few men, and they were going to a much larger force. They were outnumbered big time. But you know what? They won the victory. Do you remember why? Because the Lord was with him. We need to pray for the protection of our nation. We need to pray for the protection of our family. Lynn and I, regularly in our prayer times in the morning, I get up quite early and get up and get my cup of coffee and usually go for a bike ride, and we come back and have our Bible study and prayer time. One of the things we pray for is protection, because you can have 26 different kinds of weapons in your house, but you want to have the Lord's protection. Every believer who prepares to defend himself must find that preparation foolish if he does not commit himself to the Lord and ask the Lord for his protection. It's important to labor with God. One of my favorite subjects to read about, Theodore Roosevelt has an interesting biography of Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell, I believe, was a believer, but Oliver Cromwell said this, and it's kind of my philosophy: trust God and keep your powder dry. You know, trust God and keep your powder dry. That's what Oliver Cromwell said. Dry powder will not win the victory unless the people first exercise confidence in God's power and in God's purpose. We need God's power. We need God's purpose. Well, sure, protect yourself, but man, don't leave God out of that equation. We need God's power. We need God's purpose. But with the protecting presence of God, a city may sleep in peace, and those inside the house may dwell securely, and praise God for that. Now, let's look at verse 2. It says, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." Says, "For so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now, I want you to hold your finger there. But I want you to turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Turn ahead to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. This is not an encouragement to be lazy. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "He becometh poor that dwelleth with a slack hand, that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Now turn down to verse 22 as well. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it." Now, when we're looking at verse 2, it says, "It is vain to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." It's not trying to encourage lackadaisicalness, not at all. But what it's showing is the vanity of much activity if you're not asking God's direction and blessing in your life. We must remember that, David did not condemn rising up early or keeping tirelessly at one's task until late at night. He wasn't condemning that. But he made the point, however, that people are foolish who pursue this kind of effort without thinking about what God wants, without thinking of glorifying God, and not at all. And so toiling to the point of sorrow can add nothing to it. If you toil and toil and toil and you don't have a purpose and you're not honoring and glorifying the Lord, then you can expect that God's not going to bless you. Many who pursue success rise up early in the morning, long before their bodies have rested, and they labor late into the night. They're not thinking about the Lord at all. They're thinking about just getting rich and making more money and more money and more money. The trauma of unresolved problems and the fear of failure fill their lives with sorrow and stress, so that they cannot rest strongly, or rest decently, rest peacefully. That's the word that I want. And so, if you're just trying to fulfill your own selfish desire by doing these things, it's going to add to futility and to emptiness. To engage in this kind of effort without God's direction leads to vanity. leads to emptiness, leads to no good whatsoever at all. Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 33, let's turn there. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moss and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6, 33 then says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, our society is enslaved by the same hollow values for power, prestige, and possession. I remember talking with somebody, and they said, man, when I finally get a good job, I'm going to start tithing. You know what? If you make a dime, you ought to give the Lord a penny. If you make a dollar, you ought to give the Lord a dime. If you make 10, you ought to give the Lord a buck. If you make 100, you ought to give the Lord 10. I mean, so many people are missing the point because the tithe belongs to the Lord. And so you can labor and do all these things and seek to get rich, but if God isn't blessing it, I've known a lot of rich people in my life. I've worked for a lot of rich people in my life. And you know, they're some of the most miserable people I know. Well, they're worried that somebody's going to steal what they have. They worry about a reversal in the stock market. Hey, I know about reversals in the stock market. Lynn and I know about reversals in the stock market. Much of 50% of what we had laid up for retirement, it evaporated almost overnight. But you know what? That isn't where my future is. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't happy about that. I didn't jump up and down and say, oh, I lost 50% of my investment. No, when Strong Fund had its problems, all that sort of things, no. Because you know, God has never given me wooden nickels. You need to do your best to prepare for the future. But it isn't all about retirement, it's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ here and now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those things will be added up. Sure, please do invest. Please do put things aside. I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. But you need to be laboring with the Lord, because as we see right here, it says, it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. I mean, you can get under so much stress and so much pressure and want to go jump off a building because the stock market, the bottom dropped out of the stock market. You know what? Ultimately, my future isn't in the stock market. I have a treasure that, you know what, none of that stuff could touch. You know where it's at? It's laid up in heaven. So praise the Lord. The last point that I'm going to look at is verses 3 through 5, raising a family with God. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's interesting, verse 1, but in this verse, the word heritage and reward shows that children are belonging to God, and he entrusts them to us for us to rear, to us to raise. You know, who owned your kids? The Lord owned your kids. And what he's given to us for is, Ephesians 6, 4, is we're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're to educate and train them, and we're to chasten them. We're to admonish them and to warn them to give attention to important things from the Scriptures. But the Children belong to the Lord, and God has entrusted the children to us. Parents who receive their children as an heritage from the Lord will trust in the Lord and look to Him for guidance in training their children, training them up to fear God and to keep His commandments. The Lord really desperately needs dads who will be spiritual leaders in the home. The Lord desperately needs moms who will be the home managers. Moms, Christian moms, raise their kids so much better than babysitters do. You know what? Christian moms even raise their children better than grandma does. Christian moms definitely raise the children better than the daycare does. So God has entrusted the children to us. David likened children as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. I've been thankful for my children. They've been a help. In David's day, it says that he could speak with the enemy in the gates. So that's talking about him taking a bunch of his sons, and he didn't have to fear meeting the enemies in the gates because he had his young strapping sons with him when he meets the enemy in the gates. But it's nice to know that I have children who love the Lord, children who are praying for us in our older years, and children who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Children can be a great source of happiness or a source of sorrow, depending on how the children live. God has charged parents to rear their children biblically, and we need to keep the Lord in each and everything we do. We need to work with God. We need to work with God, number one, building with God and defending with God and laboring with God, and finally, raising the family with God. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep Him in proper focus. Let's pray.